Welcome to Reclaiming the Republic. This show is sponsored by ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. I am G.R. Mobley. This is an educational grassroots program focused on uniting and leading in restoring the Republic and placing the federal government back into the scope and framework of the Constitution once again. And welcome back. I know I've been kind of firing off a flurry of ideas, information, and so I'm hoping that you're maybe marking these days as days you may want to reference back to. I unfortunately don't have anybody, because I've got way too many things to do, so I don't have anybody to really kind of identify what each show contains. So that's why you kind of need to make a note, send yourself a text, send yourself a little email to say, oh, this is the day I want to pull this podcast in. I just want to get straight into the marketing. So this show is also sponsored by RepublicReview.org, and this is the only show that goes through the academic evidence we are going to be heading into in our next portion of content, which will be coming up probably in the next week or so. We're going to be heading into the resolutions and the details of Republic Review. We've already covered the ratification debates. We've covered the historical events that have led up to this point of the resolutions when the federal government and John Adams, or I should say the legislature or Congress and John Adams, felt inclined to violate the Constitution. And what we are going to be examining is, what do you do? We want to be very clear. Madison and Jefferson, I think this guy by the name of Madison really understood the Constitution. I mean, he has this nickname as the father of the Constitution. So I think he knows better than most. And the point is that what did he do when the Constitution was violated? Let me tell you real quick what he didn't do. He didn't go off and create the John Birch Society so he could teach his way out of this, so that he could actually create some prominent organization that would, you know, span decades and centuries of trying to educate people and watch America lose constantly to big government and communism, because that's what we see today. Another thing he didn't do is he didn't apply for an Article 5 convention. The Constitution wasn't the problem in this very specific case. The federal government overreached their bounds. What did he not do? He also didn't go for and or reach out and apply the factors of nullification. So we're going to get into the factors of nullification. When is it that we really apply nullification? This way, you'll understand the huge difference between interposition and nullification. There's lots of people out there that just say, oh, well, if they violate the Constitution, then you nullify it. No. You nullify laws that are essentially legitimate laws, but they actually break the essence or a greater law, God's law, the laws of nature, our Declaration of Independence. In other words, these concepts that we are endowed by our Creator inalienable rights, the right of liberty, life, the pursuit of happiness, and to alter and abolish our government when it is oppressing us or when it is attacking us after a long train of events. This is what they did, and after enough events for them to realize with the Articles of Confederation, they had to abolish the Articles of Confederation, which drove us well within their rights of the delegates representing that state. They did as they were chartered to do, to fix the government. Even though the states didn't want to lose their fiefdoms, they were the bad players, and they were the ones that power that they had to be stripped away from them unwillingly. This is why I want to emphasize, when we went through the ratification debates, you'll find that I actually read those points where they actually discussed and voted on whether these commissions from the states were violated. And the states, every state that had to address this going into the ratification debate, they had to address, hey, is this legitimate? Did these guys exceed the powers we gave them? And they all recognized that regardless of what powers they thought they could constrain, they could not constrain the inalienable right of putting aside, altering, and or abolishing our government. And so here are those masters like Patrick Henry, who were the, you know, the kings of the fiefdoms at the time, who had blood on their hands, or who were basically culpable for allowing the Union to put itself in such danger instead of actually. And bottom line, the AOC, the Articles of Confederation, were doomed. Anyway, I don't want to get into all of that. I start going down these rat holes. Forgive me. Harry, I hope you're listening. We have a comment line, 425-270-5416. I need to reach out to Charles and try to schedule with him some time so that we can have this conversation regarding student debt and the government even being involved in debt for anything other than those things that they have the enumerated powers to do, because they are denned, they are constrained, they are confined to the enumerated powers within the Constitution. And when you start really looking at those powers, there's a little bit of, I don't want to say redundancy, but there's a little bit of ties. I mean, how many of the enumerated powers out of the 17, 18 bullets within Section 8 of Article 1, how many of those are referring to the militia? 3 or 4. I mean, so it's not like there's 19 specific powers. There are far less powers than that. Their basic power and responsibility is to provide security for this nation from any external threat, like the invasion. We're going to get into the invasion in the marketing, so please stay tuned. Let me just finally get through these obligatories. And so one of the things we want to keep in front here, because this is marketing, we need you to get involved. And the one way you can get involved is start becoming a advocate and become a talking point, one who articulates Republic Review so that people can start understanding the correlation between Republic Review and Jefferson and Madison's interpositions, those resolutions that they passed, what we have to do when the federal government is proven to be violating the Constitution. Now, if you need to reference any videos, I believe that the videos we have on reclaimingtherepublic.org, if you go to reclaimingtherepublic.org, you'll find the link to our YouTube channel. Go to our YouTube channel and send some of those videos out to your friends. The three presidential vetoes of the Department of Transportation, or DOT. Send that video to your friends and say, refute this. Did these guys really veto the footings for a Department of Transportation and said you have to amend the Constitution if we're going to do this? If that's so, then why is it we have a Department of Transportation without an amendment? You know, this guy, again, this is the father of the Constitution. He was the first one to say, no, you can't do it. Then Monroe said you couldn't do it. Or go and look at the immigration. It's a little play on words, or it's a trick, because bottom line, it's not about immigration. It's about an invasion. And what we're doing and what the Constitution says regarding an invasion. The only actions that the government should be taking is putting troops on that border and stopping any and all invaders from crossing that line. The next step is to actually go around and gather up the DACAs and all of these other people who are invaders here, who want straight access to undermine us. I'm sorry, you have to go through, and as a matter of fact, we need to start ramping up and ratcheting up this concept and paradigm regarding our citizenship and supporting the Constitution. It's repugnant that we have political parties that are actually saying, well, you got to support the party. You got to support our agenda, not the Constitution. We need to invoke, and we need to implement these tools of communism, of the redistribution of wealth and social justice. No, that's not in the Constitution. See, if we're supporting the Constitution, then we don't have bureaucrats, government, and politicians driving us in the wrong direction. This is why the good Lord knew that after the Civil War, we needed Section 3 of the 14th Amendment. We needed teeth to be able to remove these corrupt culprits who are deliberately trying to destroy our Constitution and destroy liberty for our posterity. Anyway, let us be going into these little things of news and newsworthy rants that I'm going to give you. Now, there is a bill that is meant to protect the rights of the Pennsylvania children. And this just recently happened. And basically, they're trying to protect the rights of children to have lemonade stands or small businesses passed by the state legislature. This just happened, I think, a week or 2 weeks ago. And so Pennsylvania has this long history of doing, well, who doesn't have this long history of doing this? Here's the question. Are we to trifle over small businesses to such a point that we have to, you know, straddle them with regulations when we're doing nothing whatsoever to these multi-billion-dollar global tech companies who are getting money from candidates, getting advertising, even small business going onto these platforms? These platforms are making money, whether that be Twitter, whether that be Instagram, it doesn't matter. They're making money. And the states are going after our own small business. And these people that are struggling, while these opulent elitists are, I'll stop myself right there. We're going to be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. If you run a business or an organization, you already know email is an essential tool for communicating. If you're interested in reducing your overhead and increasing your productivity, I personally recommend you look into AdLocal email marketing services. AdLocal has a special offer for my listeners with email services that start at $10 a month for your first 1,000 addresses. If you want to increase customer retention, grow your market presence, track your statistics, and improve your engagement with your customers with modern, elegant emails that express the personality of your business with emails that integrate with your website, you need to contact AdLocal, and they handle the rest. Take it from me. AdLocal offers the best solutions for all organization sizes, and they lead with their pricing and their 24-hour customer service. Folks, it's time to call AdLocal at 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com. If you've listened to my show, Reclaiming the Republic, then you should understand that the Constitution is neither a living document nor a noble guide to governance. In accordance to Article 7, the Constitution is a hard, fast contract, and the states are the only stakeholders in this contract. Integral in contract law, the stakeholders or states possess the inherent authority to exercise oversight and enforcement over their contract. This means they can audit the federal government by the contract, and with republic review, they can enforce compliance to their constitution. Any single state can perform the audit, but when states begin to unite in the auditing process, this is what is referred to as republic review. Please read my argument for republic review as well as my description of the Republic Review model on ReclaimingTheRepublic.org. We even have a graphic flowchart that shows you how Republic Review works. If you want to learn more, contact me on Facebook or send me an email. Thank you. Friends, if you have any questions or comments, we have our 24-hour comment line at 425-270-5416. Okay, so when we talk about small business, when we look at kids trying to do something and trying to make some money, why is it that government, the first thing they think of is how they can leech off of this any potential success or even failure? We shouldn't have a hostile government. The only reason why government is in our pockets for everything is because they're trying to do everything when they shouldn't. We've gone through the cod fishery bounties, and we pointed out just not too long ago the danger of what happens when government thinks it's within their reach to be able to take over education, to be able to take over compassionate services. Next thing you know, and if you've ever heard of Milton Friedman's, you know, the four ways of spending other people's money, and the spending of money, the way you spend your money and the way you spend other people's money and the way other people will spend your money. When you start looking at government, they're spending your money. And when it comes to compassion and when it comes to their agendas, hey, I don't see any reason why they would withdraw or hold back on taking more of your money if it meets their agenda. So we have to start putting into context. This is why I rally on this. You need to look at your state constitution, and I'll bet you anything you will not find amendments that granted your state government to create some of the offices and some of the powers it's exercising today. Where did they get these powers? Oh, well, these were mandates from the federal government, who had no authority to mandate these things. Do you see how they've been working? And everybody has been, they've been bamboozled and they've been convinced that this is the process. They can do this. Well, this is how it is. The federal government is constitutional. Whatever we say, unless it's deemed otherwise, well, who has the authority to deem otherwise? Your state legislators. So this is why we need to really start focusing this year in getting people into their party, into the Republican Party. Why? Because it's going to be the Republican Party primary next year that you'll be able to beat out these chumps, these rhinos, these people who think they're champions of the Constitution, these chads out there that I've talked about. Oh, yeah, they'll do anything to come along, and they'll sign a pledge, but they don't think they can be held accountable to signing that pledge. I bit my tongue for two terms for Mr. Chad, and I'm not going to anymore. Bottom line, you had an opportunity. You knew you could have come back. He could have easily come back, and I anybody that has dealt with me knows that I will avail myself to you to help you so that you understand what you need to do. I will give you the documents so that you can understand these things. I can't cover for him. So woe unto those who have signed pledges in the past. If you're listening and you know you've signed a pledge and you have done nothing, when we move forward in your state, your name will be out there as a person who had signed a pledge to do something and did nothing. Didn't lead, didn't start educating people as you pledged to do so. And if you want to see these pledges, we're going to be posting these again. And we want you to know that we're going to hold people accountable. We're going to hold all of these organizations accountable who want to be divisive and want to say, no, 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 just give us your money and we're going to do good things. Trust us. No, you either unify and work with us and we all come to an agreement on what has to be done. That means the COS folks, they have to get off their high horse and think that, you know, they really need to amend the Constitution, when that's the last thing we need to worry about at this point. We need federal compliance first and foremost, and then we can focus on the states. And every time that this happens a lot, folks, when you get into understanding Republic Review and you start getting your arms around this, do not think your state has to be first. We do not have time. You have to get your state legislators on board first so that we can start pushing this down the road. We need to get the state legislators to call for Republic Review. Once we get this pushed down the road to where we get maybe 13 states and we're starting to accumulate states, because it may take a year or two. I'm going to tell you, as soon as we hit 13 states, the federal government is going to be looking over its shoulder and it's going to be saying, what do we do about this? Because by that time, it's too late. That it'll be too late. They can't do anything. And they're going to be watching. And then what they'll do, just like a little kid, just like a little kid, they'll, okay, we're going to behave. We're not going to do this anymore. Here's the keys to the car. And they know, and I'm telling you, they're going to, you know, just try to behave better until they think you forgot, or they're going to try to come up with some way to basically shut you out and or isolate you and take you out, take us out. And so this is the direction we have to go. We have to actually start working. And then while these 13 states are in the process of republic review, this is where you can start cleaning up at that point your state and your counties, yes. But you don't do it first. We have to initiate, we have to call upon the other states. And then once you've called upon the other states and doing everything you can and helping, you know, build these bridges across state boundaries and bringing them on board with republic review, then you can start actually working at the county and state level and so forth. There's no reason why you can't work in parallel. You know, we're not necessarily tied to a serial process here that you have to do this, then this, then this, then this. This is something that can be done in parallel, but the first and foremost priority must be going after the federal government and getting them to comply to the Constitution, period. Okay? Now, the next thing I was going to point out, I'm not sure if you know, but the communist advocate and the communist political hack, because just remember, performers, actors, these guys are pretenders, right? All they do is lie. And so I find it ironic, and I find it interesting that Bruce Springsteen was one of the first people to help usher in opening Broadway. Well, they needed to have somebody that can draw a crowd. I don't know if you're a Bruce Springsteen fan. If you got his records, I'm not going to tell you to burn them. But why would you give this guy any more money when he's done everything he possibly can to support the communist revolution in America? Just go look at his associations with Obama. Go look at his associations with these communist politicians. Why would you support this guy? So I'm just hoping that people start waking up and people like Springsteen start getting the message that maybe they're not wanted here anymore. The one thing I have to say about Springsteen and everybody else that are the loyalists that are leading the charge, Bernie Sanders and the rest, we need to revisit the Tory Acts. Now, the Tory Acts is something that I might have missed or skipped over this year. I usually cover it on January 2nd because January 2nd was the first Tory Act passing. But the Tory Act was basically identifying if you're a loyalist to another form of government, if you're a loyalist to Britain at that point in time, then you will be asked to leave if we win this war. And what ended up happening after we won the Revolutionary War, we sent out about 100,000 people without, and this was one of the reasons why the British refused to even honor the treaty, because they were pushing to get all of that property back so that they could take ownership or seize some of it. Because Britain, they were heavy taxers, remember? They needed money to get out of their debt. That's why they were passing the Stamp Acts and all these other acts to basically pay for their warfare. And so when we look at these people like Springsteen, we need to treat them the same way. We need to really draw the line and say, you know what? You may have a right of freedom of expression, but when you go out and you call anybody that is calling for insurrection, like Maxine Waters, why isn't she dangling from the end of a rope after her trial for treason? We have all the evidence. Are you telling me we can't convict her of treason? In calling for people to actually commit insurrection, committing violence. Now, when Trump, on January 6th, asked people to peacefully or what, there's no evidence that he was even asking. As a matter of fact, we have a right to petition our government. And what we have to do is, when the government is the problem, we shouldn't be taking it out to the streets. We need to be taking it into the halls of government. And if anybody's got it right, it is this concept of actually marching upon the Capitol and demanding that they redress our grievances. Anyway, the next one, a Tunisian defense ministry. So I'm just going through a list of things that just happened in the past week. A Tunisian Defense Ministry spokesman said that the migrant boats that have been at risk of sinking an oil rig in the area surrounded an alarm, and the migrants were picked up on Sunday. They hailed from Bangladesh, Eritrea, Egypt, Mali, and the Ivory Coast. And see, here's the interesting thing. This was a Tunisian defense ship that went out to pick up these folks. Why is it that Italy, Spain, and all the rest of those people on the northern side of the Mediterranean, why come they didn't have a defense boat out there to do this? I mean, surely they have far more ships and capabilities because they don't want any more invaders into their country. They're tired of this. When are we going to get tired? This has just been happening on their shores for a short period of time. It's been going on for decades here. Folks, when are you going to wake up? When are you going to get involved? We're going to be right back after these two promos. Thank you so much. Folks, as you know, online fraud is on the rise, and it's more important than ever for your new and existing customers to be able to determine whether they are using a website with a secured connection. If you didn't know, Google mandated in 2017 that all data submitted to its linked websites must be secure with SSL certificates. Without SSL certificates, your site is listed by Google as not secure. In other words, without these certificates, your site will be harder to find, and this will impact new traffic and ultimately your revenue. Whether you're a blogger or in e-commerce, AdLocal will help protect your website from all forms of data breaches, phishing scams, and build a secure environment for your businesses, big or small. Contact AdLocal by calling 866-88-ADLOCAL or visit them on the web at www.adlocal.com for custom pricing. To become a citizen, one must take an oath to support and defend the Constitution. Those of us who are naturally born citizens are obligated and duty-bound to fulfill the same oath, even though we're not required to take it, because it is implied upon us at birth. This is why I cannot emphasize enough the importance in supporting businesses who are supporting our Constitution. We have to stop supporting businesses that have chosen to hide behind political correctness, and obviously we must stop supporting progressive businesses who are working to undermine our republic and our Constitution. Do not let businesses or organizations convince you that they are supporting the Constitution by supporting protests for social justice. By definition, social justice is the distribution of wealth, opportunities, and privileges within a society. In other words, they're calling for socialism, which is incompatible with individual liberty and individual sovereignty and our Constitution. With that, please consider supporting businesses who advertise on this show and this radio station. Don't forget, you can call our 24-hour comment line to ask a question or to speak on any topic. Dial 425-270-5416. Hello and welcome back. I've got a real good question for you on this one. Here's a case that actually made it into court. Now, so before anything can go and actually schedule court time, there has to be proof of jurisdiction, right? Now, I have told you before that there can be no jurisdiction if the power to government is not granted. In other words, government has no jurisdiction over life, abortion, nothing. It's not in the Constitution that the federal government can, you know, bring into court a ruling or even examine a case that is regarding marriage, health care. Those powers are not enumerated. Okay, so here's another concept, because we've talked about enumerated powers, and then we've talked about specified nugatory protection or specific items and or enumerations that are specifically protected from government. When it says Congress shall make no law, or the federal government shall make no law prohibiting the exercise of religion and all these other things. First Amendment, Second Amendment, right? The Bill of Rights is this concept of you can't make a law or do anything regarding this. So when it comes down to you know, these cases where, you know, somebody is going to be held accountable for murder and for a criminal charge. In Texas, there were four lawsuits that were filed by the survivors and the families of those killed in that 2017 mass shooting at the church in Sutherland Springs. And so the ruling Friday, the fact that they even went down this path of going after the retailer who sold the rifle, conducted the required background checks, and on a dishonorably discharged Air Force member who later used it to gun down 26 people. Bottom line is the Texas Supreme Court dismissed the lawsuits. But why did it even get that point? Bottom line, do you have a right to, you can go after the person, can you go after the car dealership that sold the car that somebody drove maliciously into a crowd of people? We're not even talking about a drunk driving crime here. The person that went down to buy a car to drive it right into a crowd of people. Or didn't this just happen while Trump was president? Somebody rented a truck and tried to put explosives in it, went into New York, and then drove into a crowd of people? Come on. Was Budget or Hertz or whoever rented that truck, were they sued? Come on, folks. We have a right to holding people accountable, but we don't have a right to start punishing people for having a business in doing something that is legal. We're getting close to going down these paths of bills of attainder, and that's exactly the evil that we are protected by in Article 1, Section 8, Subsection 9, actually Article 8, Section 9 and Section 10. Article 1, Section 9 and 10. They can't pass bills of attainder. What is a bill of attainder? It's a law that qualifies or classifies a group of people as breaking the law, like creating a law and punishing white people or punishing a group of people because of something that's happened. You can't do it. Anyway, this next one is more evidence regarding the deep state, because this just recently came out, and I don't know how many people have heard about this, but Senator Majority Leader Mitch McConnell privately urged Attorney General William Barr to refute the substantiated claims of a widespread voter fraud in the 2020 election right after the election. In other words, he was going around Trump and he was going to Barr trying to get Barr to basically support the stealing of the election. Now, folks, with this information, how in the heck are the people in Kentucky not going after and pulling him out of office? He has no right to go and actually start supporting this lawlessness. You know, I am not a huge fan of pursuing, at this point in time, the voter fraud as our primary mechanism of getting Biden out. Biden is in office because he is unconstitutional, because Congress failed to do their job. We have a constitutional crisis because of Congress. Okay, we have this voter fraud problem too, but the voter fraud problem is a state issue. The federal government really doesn't have anything much at all to say other than, you know, tell us how we can help. But the states have to fix this. We have to clean up our own states. And so you're seeing some of this, and the states have been trying. And actually, one of the things that we're going to be talking about is voter ID law and the Democrats. And we'll get to that. We'll get to that, because bottom line, the devil will allow you. He will give you some ground as long as he sees the advantage of being able to take that ground from you. Anyway, so I'm not sure, everybody's probably heard this, and this is probably, you know, kind of spinning around. Joe Biden's proposal to impose a global tax on the corporate sectors, and he's actually getting pushback from some of these other companies, some of these other countries. Some of these other countries are so poor that this is the only way they're actually able to make money. And so these members of the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, many of them have been rejecting Biden's proposal to impose this 15% minimum global tax. Let me ask you something. Why is it that government needs so much money to rule us and to control us? when they have no business in America to rule or control. They have been denned to very specific powers. And so this goes right back down to when you start looking at what they can do and how they're spending the money, folks, you look at that debt. Look at all of these things that they're doing. Do you think that somehow we're going to elect a person? And if this is what you believe, you are sadly mistaken, and you need to listen to the show a lot longer, or you're just in complete denial. Because if you truly believe that Trump can save America, then you're sadly mistaken. A president cannot save America from his office. The only way a president can be involved in saving America is, as I have told you, he has to go to every state and every state legislative body and demand that they fix this problem. He needs to educate them that they have the power to fix this problem, and then promise them he will use his power to shut down the bureaucracy of enforcements, the ATF, the BLM, and all of these folks, and they're just basically going to put them on, and, you know, furlough them with full pay. Just think about that. All of a sudden, they're not spending any money on gas. They're not spending any money on operations at all. We furlough all of these bureaucratic enforcers. They're sitting at home making their full pay for the next year, too. I don't care. All we're doing now is just paying the payroll for these offices to exist and not buying them new equipment, not buying their guns, and not buying the gas to get them around. The operations and all of that, that gets to be a very big fee. They're not even going into the office anymore, so we can shut down the utility. Look at how much money we save by just paying the payroll. That's all he has to do is just say, you know what, I'm not going to fire these people, because if he goes down that path, there's this unconstitutional problem that these federal employees have a right to their job. So instead of opening up any cans of worms, he just shuts down operations and allows the states to do everything necessary over the course of that four-year term of that president, with the president cheering them and guiding them and teaching them. If we only had a Madison for president, the father of the Constitution, who could actually stand there, there's no doubt in my mind, over a four-year period of time, over saying it over and over and over and over again, there's no doubt in my mind that America would get it right, we would do this, and it could be done during one term of a presidency. And if that was the case and that president was really, truly trying to save America, then I couldn't see why that president would even want a second term, other than the fact of then trying to guide this, not crippled, but this renewed limited government down this path and basically, you know, helping the states start to learn to lead for themselves. Maybe that would be the next second term of this president. But that's how that's the only way, and that's how we should be looking in trying to solve this problem. We need a president that's actually going to lead, not, you know, do what he wants to do as a tyrant, but lead on the Constitution. Now, on January 6th, we had access. No, actually, we didn't have access to the Capitol, correct? We did not have access to the Capitol. It was locked and shut. The people could not petition government. Now, where in the First Amendment does it say that Congress can select times and days that they can shut the people out of government? Where is that in the First Amendment? Because I believe it says that the federal government should pass no law that abridges your right to petition government for the redress of grievances. So why was the Capitol even locked? Who was it that actually issued that order and violated the Constitution? Now, those are the things we need to find out. But since they're kind of going down this path of creating this commission, like the 9/11 commission, maybe we should be directing very specific and pointed questions towards these Bolsheviks, these communists, who are trying to actually obfuscate the reality of our constitutional government and basically saying they're tyrants and they can get away with doing anything they even want. We got to stop this, folks. We got to wake up. We'll be right back after these two promos. I've been on the radio for a couple of years, and for over a decade, I have been providing content to help patriots understand what has to be done if we're going to save our Constitution and our Republic. Not one academic has been able to refute my argument for Republic Review, and even most conservative entertainers will not support Republic Review due to self-interest reasons. If you have not read my bullet point descriptions and executive summaries, you need to so that you can understand what we all need to do. I am trying to give patriots the necessary knowledge to take back our Constitution and Republic. Go to reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can read my bullet points and view the Republic Review flowchart. You can even order my executive summaries, books, and other content to understand the simplicity of what we have to do. This way, you will know what, why, and how to support the reclaiming of our Republic. Again, please take a look at my content on reclaimingtherepublic.org so you can become a part of the solution. To set the record straight, Republic Review is neither an Article 5 convention nor a convention of states. In accordance with Article 5 of the Constitution, this convention requires 2/3 of the states to apply to Congress to convene a convention with the intent to amend the Constitution. This convention is unable to solve our real problem, which is non-compliance to the Constitution, and would be dangerous to convene at this time. In contrast, Republic Review is the process of the states exerting its constitutional authority over the Constitution. An audit does not require an application to Congress. This authority is inherent to principal stakeholders of a contract. Why do we need Republic Review? Because this is the only way the states can deal with the federal encroachments into roles, responsibilities, and powers that belong to the states. To learn more about Republic Review, please go to reclaimingtherepublic.org to read my content and my model on the audit and Republic Review process. As a reminder, if you have any questions or comments, we have a 24-hour comment line, 425-270-5416. Okay, so something that's actually came out in the news regarding this access to the Capitol is the identity of the Capitol police officer should be coming out very soon. As a matter of fact, it is already being alleged that that person is Michael Byrd, Lieutenant Michael Byrd, who fatally shot Ashley Babbitt on that 6th. And so, bottom line, during an interview on Fox last month, Babbitt's attorney, Terrell Roberts, said he believed the shooter was the same officer who left his loaded gun in a public restroom on the Capitol Hill back in 2019. Reports identified that officer as Lieutenant Michael Byrd. And so it's coming out. Will we get justice for Ashley Babbitt? Will we get justice for our Constitution? That's probably the most important question. Will we actually be able to put it on the table that Congress, the federal government, has no power, no ability without amending the Constitution to shut down or take away our right to petition them? It is a government, as people like to say, for and by the people. It is the, as Madison stated during the ratification debates, and I just read this a couple months ago, that who are the parties to it? We the people? We the people of the sovereign states. And so we have a right at our state level, at our county level, and at the federal level to petition government and make them miserable. So when we talk about protests, and I point out that protests are absolute violations of the Constitution. You do not have a right to shut down commerce by going out into the street. You do not have a right to shut down anybody and their right of commerce in your protests. You don't have that right. And so when we see that, and we give you the empirical data that the first protest, the protesters were arrested and charged with treason, and two were convicted. So there's no right of protest. So why is it and how is it that we have obtained this paradigm that this is the great institution of America, protesting? Well, it's because the government doesn't want you in their knickers. So they have basically allowed this narrative to get all basically twisted and turned and perverted into a position where we no longer are looking at them and petitioning them. They want us to be out in the street. This is how the Bolshevik Revolution is to move forward. Anyway, if you start looking at why and how things are happening, it is all by design that government wants to be able to be left alone so that they can do all that they want to do to us. And we can't do anything about it because they believe that they've changed the rules. When I am telling you, the only way the rule can change is via an amendment to the Constitution. They can't make a law that says you can't petition them. Now, if government is closed on Sundays and everything is closed, nobody's there, I get it. But if people are there, you have a right to go there and petition them. And you can petition them 24/7 if they're open 24/7. Because they can make no law abridging that right. Okay? Anyway, top Democrats, this is what I was talking about regarding voter ID law and don't trust Satan. Top Democrats seem to be loosening their stance on their opposition to voter identification requirements. And this is all in response to Manchin and Manchin taking this hard stand against this HR 1 or this voter ID law or these voter rights laws that they're trying to pass. During an interview, South Carolina Representative and House Majority Whip James Clyburn said his party is open to the idea as long as it is equitable. Now, see, does the federal government have any power whatsoever to state whether you can have voter ID laws or anything? No. These laws are left to the states. So what they're putting on the table is they're basically putting on the table some of these political compromises so they can usurp states' powers unconstitutionally. Because the only way the federal government can actually start having controls over elections and voting is by usurping that power unless they amend the Constitution. Okay, you got that, right? I've said this several times in this particular episode. That they have to amend the Constitution. And if they don't, and they pass an act, well, so where is that act enforceable? If federal government passes an act of this Voter ID Act, or the Alien and Sedition Acts, or the Civil Rights Act, the American Disabilities Act, where are these acts enforceable? They're only enforceable in the District of Columbia and in U.S. territories. Because acts are not in pursuant to the Constitution. They have to be tied to an enumerated power for them to be actually constitutional. And if there's no enumerated power for disabilities, there's no enumerated power for race or civil rights and those types of things that they've put into these acts, then it's nice. I wish the states would do some of these things. But they can't mandate it. Remember, as Washington said in his farewell address, as noble as these causes may be, and I'm paraphrasing, as noble as these causes may be, this is the primary way governments are overturned, by allowing government to usurp the authority and the sovereignty of the people and the states. So anyway, once these doors get opened, then Satan will start running amok. And they, as soon as they believe that they have control, remember, as soon as they believe that they had control of the civil rights, next thing you know, they instituted affirmative action, which became almost like a bill of attainder, giving preference for one class of people and a disadvantage for everybody else, or classes of people against everybody else. They have no power to do these things, friends. But why is it that we sit here and let them do this? The whole point that I'm hoping that you're going to take away from today is that we have so many problems that the federal government is causing that the sooner we get into getting a state with republic review, then we are on our way to solving almost all of our problems. Come on, I mean, look at it. If we actually get the federal government out of our lives in all of these different ways, then now it's a lot easier to deal with your state and your county. We need to get active. And so this is why you need to reach out. I'm going to say this again, and I'm probably going to say this a lot in the marketing phase here until we get into the next level of content on resolutions, that you've got to go to your county central committees. I'd actually like to have people telling me that people are complaining because these central committee meetings are being overran because there's lots of people that are attending them. That would be a great thing. And so get out there, start attending your Republican Central Committee meetings and listen and wait for them to talk about what's constitutional, what isn't constitutional, and how they're defending the Constitution and supporting the Constitution, because I'm telling you, you won't hear it. The Republicans won't talk about this. So when people, you know, these people are nice people. These people have no idea what's going on. They're just being led by the managers who told them this is how we're going to do this, and this is the process you have to stick to. And so when people, you know, being nice, they extend their hand, hey, come on, have some coffee and some donuts, or, you know, they usually have refreshments, and it's a nice social gathering of nice people. And really, they are nice people, and they mean the greatest things in, you know, in what they're trying to do. They're actually trying to put their best effort. I haven't met a person that has joined the party, regardless of whether it's the Constitution Party, Republic, that they were really trying to help. They wanted to get involved. But the problem is, once they start getting in, you know, into the party, they realize that they have absolutely no say on who's representing them. They have no control over holding them accountable. They have no understanding and get nothing to understand the Constitution and how to get back into the framework of the Constitution. These parties are designed as laissez-faire designs. In other words, they, you know, have no control or no accountability, only the agenda. And this is why we have all of these party problems. So when they ask you, hey, why don't you join? Why don't you become a member? You can be a precinct committee officer. Well, now until you guys actually start supporting the Constitution, I'm just going to kind of come and observe. And I'm hoping. And then when they say, well, we want to, then offer our videos. Offer that immigration video to show. I got a video I'd like to show you guys. Would you please show this? And that, because it's going to fire hose them on the Constitution, the immigration one, the presidential powers, the concept of the Constitution and Republic Review. So instantly people are going to be exposed to this concept that the Constitution is a compact, that the states are the parties to it, that the states have all the authority and power over that compact. You know, what happens when people start getting educated? Remember the three premises I have: reasonable people, equally informed, seldom disagree. The other premise is knowledge is power, but it doesn't become power until it's acted upon. Intelligence or knowledge has to be acted upon. That's when it becomes power. And then the third and final one is that political power comes from the fountain of political power. Where that power comes from is from we the people. And the problem is we have no political clout because we're not reasonably informed. And so we're disagreeing. And this is why if you go and talk to your legislature and ask them what are all the issues that they're getting sucked into, they will tell you the plethora of issues. The only issue they should be getting sucked into is supporting the Constitution, not abortion, health rights, vaccination. Supporting the Constitution. I'm G.R. Mobley. We're reclaiming the Republic, and we need your help. God bless. Have you taken the time to watch our presentation on YouTube that provided an irrefutable argument of what we have to do to save our Constitution and our Republic? I know it's over an hour and 30 minutes, but you only need to watch the first 30 minutes. If you take the time to watch this presentation, I promise it will change your paradigm regarding what our Constitution is and what we have to do if we are going to save it, our liberties, our sovereignty, and our republic. We already have answers to most of the questions that you might think of after watching this presentation, and we want to help you get to a point where you have a profound understanding of the audit and republic review process. This is why our bullet overview and flowchart of both the argument and process is available on reclaimingtherepublic.org. The sooner you get informed, the sooner you can get involved and make an impact. So go to reclaimingtherepublic.org. www.reclaimingtherepublic.org to the Take Action page. That's where you'll find the video. Thank you so much.